This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The movie Spotlight won high praise and an Academy Award for Best Picture in 2016. The film tells the story of the Boston Globe reporters who uncovered child sexual abuse by Catholic priests. Now that the Oscar parties are over, the real people at the heart of the story are fighting to stay in the public eye, and two of them join me in the studio today. Phil Saviano is the whistleblower featured in the film. He's from Boston, Massachusetts. Charles Bailey is a survivor who now lives in Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. Both men are participating in child sexual abuse awareness events in Raleigh, and they join me in the studio now. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Phil, let me start with you. I want to talk about the fallout and really start there, fallout from the film Spotlight, both for you personally and for survivors everywhere, since I assume you're in touch.
Right. It's strange to describe it as fallout because it's been nothing but good results. It's validation for all of us survivors. I feel like the movie has reached a new generation, a younger generation, which kids that were too young to pay attention or participate when this issue blew up back in 2002, 2003. But the other remarkable thing about the film is that it's had worldwide distribution, and in many countries it's become very, very popular. It's encouraged a lot of survivors to come forward in Latin America, in Spain and in Australia. And so what's happening is that people like Charles and myself are hearing quite often from people that are still, for the first time, coming to grips with their childhood experience and talking about it for the first time and reaching out and looking for help.
Charles, what was the impact of the film on you when that came out?
The impact personally was one of... I would say some kind of acknowledgement or redemption, if you will, that finally survivors are getting the recognition they need, and they've so sadly been denied over the decades here, and that Phil coming forward the way he did and disclosing what he knew just brought it to such a greater audience now that we get the exposure that we need.
How much of the story in the film, and as you recall, part of it was just in the case, the character who represented you, Phil, trying to convince the Boston Globe in the first place that this was a story that needed to be told now, but ultimately getting the church to recognize that this is something that happened and that needs attention. How much of that was your story, Charles?
I think our stories paralleled each other quite a bit. It's still a struggle every day to get the diocese and the church to recognize that this is an ongoing problem that has not stopped at all. I mean, as sadly as the three of us sit here, some poor child's being raped right now. And we need to get as much exposure as possible and try to reveal as many predators as possible, because it's the only way anyone is safe. If you don't know who the list of bad guys are, you don't know who to avoid.
Phil, is that true? It's going on now, you think?
It is going on now. I don't think it's going on to the degree that it was 12, 15, 20 years ago, but I do know of recent cases, so it is still going on. And another thing that's going on, though, is that people are starting to realize the need to reform some of our legislation, particularly statute of limitations in regards to child sex crimes. There's a great effort right now going on in New York State and Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And I know we're going to be talking about it here in Raleigh on Friday morning as well.
Well, tell us about that statute of limitations.
Well, the limitations, it really varies state by state, but the statute of limitations is the time limit or the time during which a victim is allowed the opportunity to get his or her life, emotions, head together and get to the point where they feel comfortable about talking what happened to them and then seeking out for some sort of accountability against the institution or against the individual, right, that abused them. So there's a civil statute, which is the number of years during which you're able to file a civil suit. One of the great advantages of filing civil suits is it gets you access to the records so you can find out for sure which bishop knew about which priest and how many times he was transferred from one place to another. And then there's, of course, the civil statute, in which case criminal charges can be brought. And in many states, for example, in New York State, the cutoff is age 23. And knowing that it takes victims many years, sometimes decades, myself, it wasn't until I was age 40 that I was aware enough and emotionally strong enough to come forward about my own abuse. So to expect somebody who's just barely getting out of college to have that understanding and to have that self-confidence to go up against, you know, a relative or a teacher or a priest, somebody who's very, very powerful, I think is really asking a lot.
And that's in civil cases. Criminal statute of limitations varies from state to state, but is it?
Yeah. Well, it's the same. It's 23 years old in New York as well.
Yeah. Charles, how long did it take you before you could finally come forward, and what was that experience for you?
When I disclosed to my wife what happened, I was 52 years old. I'm currently 65. I kept it to myself for 40 years, kept it from my wife for 30 years because of how awful I felt about myself. I'd stand in front of a mirror and see this gargoyle staring back at me, and I thought if I ever told that my wife and family would just disintegrate, they would see what I see on a daily basis looking back at me in the mirror. And I did not disclose. I didn't want to tell anybody. I figured that was the only thing I had to hold on to. I'd take it to my grave that I would never tell anybody that, you know, he had raped my body physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually and ripped God from me. And I felt that the only thing I had left was it was my secret. But it was unbelievably emotional when Sue, when I told my wife Sue that I had been raped by the family priest.
Did you take it to the authorities after that?
Yes, I did. And I was told the statute of limitations had expired. Once again, so the church views that as a get-out-of-jail-free card, that, you know, the time has passed, so we don't have to acknowledge it. Well, that's not the case. This man had a 45-year career of raping little boys, and he also had somewhere in the vicinity of 200 that have come forward just to me that were abused by him over that time frame in the 18 parishes he was placed in. It's just a despicable, horrible thing. These people do not stop just because age. They don't age out, if you will.
Well, that's the individuals, of course, who do that. But then the bishops and the cardinals and ultimately the Pope who made it their business to cover this up.
Right.
Phil, you talk about a doctrine, an actual church doctrine that they were able to hide behind.
Yeah, there was this doctrine that came out of the Vatican that was sort of it was like the playbook that was sent to all the bishops. And it's interesting that when you get into this and you look at the way different cases are handled within different dioceses, different parts of the country, different bishops, it's always the same sort of thing, in the sense that the priest is pulled out of one parish, sent to another parish, and then when they get to the point where it's risky to send him to any other part of the state, then they start to move them from state to state. The other thing that's interesting is that over the years, the church has had a number of treatment centers, psychological treatment centers. There's one in Massachusetts in the Worcester Diocese called the House of Affirmation. There was one up in Canada. There was one in Maryland. There's one down in New Mexico. And you wonder, well, why is it that the Catholic Church would get in the business of running these treatment centers? And it's because if they can send their priest to a treatment within the organization, enables them to keep the system. Keep the secret within the system. Because otherwise, if they go outside, then they would be mandated reporters.
You said that you believe it's still going on today. But from the top down, do you think the Pope Francis is doing enough and working fast?
I don't. You know, it's very interesting that he is a different, he does have a much different personality than popes in the past. He has a sense of humor, for one thing. And he doesn't seem to be shy about talking about this issue and acknowledging that there is some culpability within the bishops and the cardinals. But as far as making change, putting in place new rules and regulations, coming up with some system of accountability for all the bishops who have protected child molesters, not only in this country, but it's a worldwide problem. And so far, he hasn't done anything. He's established a committee. It's called the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors, I believe. They've been meeting for a few years now, and they have yet to come out with any concrete resolutions or reforms.
And Charles, you were shaking your head as well.
Yes, because it's all words, it's all platitudes. He has the ability to take action. When he became Pope, there was an excess of 4,000 allegations against priests at the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith at the Vatican. As we sit here today, there's still 4,000 cases there. He's a good orator, but he does not take action.
I want to thank you both for your time. Charles Bailey, Phil Saviano, both authors, advocates, speakers, and survivors of childhood sexual abuse, the YMCA of the Triangle and Prevent Child Abuse North Carolina, are hosting two events on child sexual abuse and prevention. A screening of the movie Spotlight tonight, 5:30, a community roundtable discussion Friday morning at 9 o'clock. And you can find out all of the details at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, Lulu Miller on Hopscotch Design. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.